Okay, Sonny, it's all yours.
All righty then. Hello and welcome to the Beacon Group's Noon Step Meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. My name is Sunny and I am an alcoholic. In an effort to lessen distractions to others and to respect our speaker, you will not be able to unmute yourself during the meeting. Let's start this meeting with a moment of silence, followed by the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Amen. AA Preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of people who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. This is an open meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous, and all are welcome to attend. But we ask that only alcoholics participate. If you are new to AA and new to the Beacon Group, please, we strongly recommend home group membership and sponsorship. If you are new or not so new and looking for a sponsor, please put your name and number in the chat. If you have worked all 12 steps as outlined in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, have had a spiritual awakening, and are willing to sponsor, please also put your name and number in the chat. The chat will remain open during the meeting except while the speaker is sharing. Also in the chat, you will find our AA quote of the day. The quote source will always be from AA literature. Our speaker will share for 30 minutes on the step of the day, which I will time. Then we will split into breakout rooms for small group discussions. Each group has a moderator who will divide the time equally and invite each person to share. Questions are encouraged during the sharing part of the meeting. When you share, please be sure your environment is quiet and free of distractions. Breakout room discussions end at 12:54, followed by day counts, announcements, and the Lord's Prayer. I have asked Adrienne to read the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous.
Thank you, Sunny. Hi, everyone. My name is Adrienne, and I'm an alcoholic. And here are the steps we took, which was suggested as a program of recovery. One, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me be of service.
Thank you, Adrienne. And today we will hear a talk on steps 4 and 5, focus on fears and sex. So please help me give a warm welcome to Lee M. from Washington, D.C. Come on in, take it away, Lee.
All right, thank you. Good afternoon, group. My name is Lee, and I'm an alcoholic. I'm visiting you from Washington, D.C. I'm a member of the Cosmopolitan Group of Alcoholics Anonymous. And my sobriety date is March the 5th, 1976. And I have not had a drink from that day to this. and I have been an active participant in the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous since day one. Now, mind you, I didn't know any of what I've just said before I got here. I'd never heard of a sobriety day, none of that stuff. But the gentleman that brought me, he told me, now everybody don't know this, I'm gonna tell y'all, because this is a special occasion, just the day after Thanksgiving. He said, son, and he called me son because I was young when I got here. He said, son, if you don't take a drink today, Friday, and you come and sit with us, your life will get better. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to tell you almost 48 years later, he wasn't lying. But what I didn't know and didn't understand was this process. And I'd like to address my remarks today to those that might be joining us, new members of Alcoholics Anonymous, or people that might be here not quite sure what this is really all about. What does it have to do with anything? Well, as you heard, one of the readings that's very common in AA is the steps. That is what the founders of this program, that's what they figured out worked for them to help them not just don't drink, but do a lot of things of understanding what alcoholism is and how to get well from it. And if you'll pay attention, like my sponsor told me, he said, son, they got numbers by them. And he encouraged me to kind of learn the way that it was written. So what I've been asked, what Sonny asked me to do is tell you all my experience with taking a fearless and thorough inventory. And then how and did I go about admitting to God, myself, and another human being? Well, let me begin by telling you what I think I've begun to understand and appreciate how all of this came into being. And the people that created this, they realized that there was some stuff going on in them. Now, when I would hear you all say that you had done a fourth step and a fifth step, it just, for years, it didn't make any sense to me at all. I just didn't understand the point, the purpose, and the benefit. But I stayed here in the fellowship, and I wasn't drinking. And slowly but surely, I realized my life was changing. And I was satisfied for many years, ladies and gentlemen, with this idea of don't drink and go to meetings, thinking all by myself that that was Alcoholics Anonymous. So in my home group on Friday nights, it's either a step or a tradition meeting. And I'm hearing you all talk about this fearless and thorough. Still didn't understand what it was about. But I want you to know that because to me, I've come to realize how important it is to stay with you all. And I'm clearly living proof that sooner or later, you'll have a spiritual awakening. And to me, that means that I'm starting to understand what I'm hearing you all talk about. Now, my sponsor gave me, I won a book when I got here, but reading wasn't one of the things that I enjoyed, that I had any confidence in. I'm better at who I see and what I hear. And I kept seeing people come to these meetings and I kept hearing you all talk. I just couldn't grasp what it was about. And I've come to realize, I hope y'all are sitting down, listen to this. I come to realize that the reason that it took me so long to do four and five is because in how it works, it talks about having the capacity to be honest. And ladies and gentlemen, I had no concept of what that was either, because I had created for myself, along with my drinking, I created this attitude of don't get caught. And as long as I could do whatever it is I was doing and not get caught, then I was satisfied. And that included not drinking and going to meetings. But I kept coming and I kept listening. Eventually, I got around to learning how to read a little bit. Then I had to learn how to understand what I was reading. So now when you all are talking about fearless and thorough, I had been here long enough to have some idea of what that meant because I realized that I have the capacity to be honest. I don't know if you ever thought about it. I never thought, considered myself to be an honest person, drunk or sober. But by being with you all, it finally came to me that, Lee, yes, you can. And at first, I thought I was supposed to be honest about my drinking. When I first, my first understanding of the fourth step, I thought I was supposed to be honest about my drinking. And as best I could, I can remember writing all of the stuff that drinking had done to me. I was too self-centered and selfish at the time to understand what my drinking had done to others. But I do remember what it had done to me. And by that, I mean drinking had got me arrested, drinking got me in 3 car accidents, drinking got me in some embarrassing situations, drinking got me caught lying and stealing. So that's the stuff that I wrote, thinking that it was my fourth step. But I kept coming, and I kept watching y'all, and I kept listening to y'all, and then I'm reading. So that combination, and there are 2 parts to this. One part has to do with the steps as they are commonly read in meetings. And then I found out that when this thing was growing, when I say this thing, I mean the fellowship, when it was growing, there were a lot of questions that people were asking about this program. So Bill Wilson, through God's grace and prayer and meditation, he expanded the steps. He gave more depth to the meaning of them. And in doing so, in our 12 and 12, which the fourth step is really, really long, Bill talks about the struggles that they had in learning about this disease called alcoholism and what to do about it. Because the issue stops being drinking when you stop drinking. Ladies and gentlemen, if nobody told you, you don't have a drinking problem once you stop drinking. Now, y'all might want to write that down. I don't think everybody got that. Write that down. You don't have a drinking problem when you stop drinking. You have an alcoholism problem, and Alcoholics Anonymous gives you an alcoholism solution. And part of the solution is learning how to take inventory. And I kept at it, and I kept at it, and I kept at it. Now, I only wrote one time. Now, there's those who tell you they write annually and et cetera. You figure out what works for you and use the 12 and 12 and the big book and what you hear in meetings as a guide to progress, not the gospel. None of us, I think, do exactly the same thing the same way, but we all have our versions and interpretations. So I'm saying that to say that first was all of what I remember drinking did to me. And then some days and weeks and years passed, and my spiritual growth kept occurring in my life because I'm an active participant in watching y'all and listening to y'all and reading. So then I called my sponsor and I said, hey, I think I'm ready. I think I'm ready to take a fifth step. Now, I admitted to me what I had done. I can't remember whether there was the solitude of admitting to God, because my head said, well, he already knew. The big step for me was to admit to another human being. And I thought, nobody told me this, but I thought I was supposed to take a fifth step with my sponsor. Now, the reason I say it that way is because it doesn't read that way in the book. The book says that the choice is yours. You can go in and out of the fellowship. You can go in and out or respectful of whatever religious denomination you might be affiliated with. You can go to anybody you think you can trust. And trust becomes really important in the fifth step because of my background, because of what I did, what I've learned about myself. Once I learned that I had the capacity to be honest. So that's kind of like the framework. Now, the fourth step, the way that Bill wrote it, Bill says that we all have natural instincts. And we do. We're human. We have natural instincts. But what they learned back then is that there were some problems that they were experiencing, again, ladies and gentlemen, had nothing to do with drinking. And one of the things that they were most concerned about that Bill kept talking about was this idea of sexual behavior. And he didn't have the answer to that. It's not like he could say, this is what you need to do to stop that. What he said was, is that what a fearless and thorough inventory does, and what it did for me, is it helped me focus on how selfish I am, not I was, but I am, how lustful I am, not I was, how selfish, how self-centered. These are things about me that came up in the fourth step that I had never given any thought to, because I convinced myself that if drinking was the problem, then not drinking had to be the solution. So don't drink and go to meetings was the solution. I'm free and clear now. I'll just talk these things, but I really won't try to do them because I have no real interest in them, because I had cultivated this attitude of fault and blame. And that came up in my fourth step. Anytime I found myself getting caught or in trouble, I could always figure out how to make it somebody else's fault or someone else was to blame. That's what, to me, that's what I've eventually learned about being fearless and thorough. Fearless and thorough. I realized, ladies and gentlemen, I'd experienced trauma in my life before I started drinking, but I didn't know how to process it. In my generation, there were things not talked about. My dad never talked to me about sexual behavior. So all that I knew or thought I knew, I got it from the guys that I drank with. And I come to find out after I'd been sober for a while, they didn't know either. So now I'm listening to people that they dumber than me, but I ain't got enough sense to know better. My need to fit in was more powerful. I didn't have any common sense. So they taught me the attitude to have towards women, how they should be treated, all of that kind of stuff. And I bought right into it. Now, I didn't come to understand and appreciate it for a long time. Unlike a lot of people in AA, ladies and gentlemen, I have a hard time with rigorous honesty. I found out I have the capacity, but rigorous is a lot of work. And part of what came out of my fourth step is I'm lazy too. So I kind of want stuff, but I ain't always willing to do the work. I'm willing to do the talking, but I ain't willing to do the work. So I kind of got through with understanding what it was, what it took to be fearless and thorough. And again, Bill's concern was about the sexual behavior in that time frame. Now, all of this came out, by the way, in case you didn't know this, all of this information in the 12 and 12 came out after the big book was published. It's a work in progress to keep learning about what it is that's going on in us. And what I found out was going on in me had nothing to do with drinking, because I don't drink no more. But these things, y'all call them character defects. I didn't know what to call them. That's what made fault and blame feel so good to me. There was no accountability on my part. If it worked, it was because I didn't drink and go to meetings. If it didn't work, it was because of your fault and you to blame. And that made sense to me, ladies and gentlemen, for years. So now I move into the fifth step. I told, I'm laughing because I'm excited that God has spared my life to be with you all and is helping you all help me keep learning how all of this stuff makes sense. I thought the fifth step was to read what I had written in the fourth step. Again, what I thought. And when you hear me say, I thought, that means that I'm not following what's in the book. See, what's in the book is what they said works for them. That's why they said, listen to this. That's why Bill and them wrote in the fifth step, in chapter five, Bill said, if you want what we got. And I asked myself, well, what did they have? They had the plan for recovery. That's what they had. They had the plan. They figured it out. They worked it. They knew it worked. And they put it in the book because they knew people like me were coming. And it says very clearly, Lee, If you want what we have and are willing to go to any length to get it, look at all of the preparation it takes before you get to the program. So I said to my sponsor, we met in the park. So I read to him what I wrote. And he said, well, son, that's not bad, but that's not what the step said. I said, well, what do you mean that's not what it says? Admit to you. I did that. I'm admitting to you what I wrote. He said, yes, son, but that's not. See, I keep trying to make Lee's program the AA program. And he keeps pointing out to me that two different things. He said, this stuff you're talking about, this is not the AA program in writing, son. You're just making up stuff. Now, I thought I was really doing. I really did. I wasn't trying to be funny. I wasn't trying to skate. I really thought. And that's my danger point. I really thought. And that's why Bill said, our problems are of our own making. And that alcoholism is centered, not in a bottle, but it's in your head. He said, Lee, this is where you messed up, son. He said, you stop drinking and you still, you don't understand what insanity really is. And I didn't, and I wasn't interested or motivated in learning. That's why I don't drink and go to meetings make so much sense to me for so many years. Because that's what I thought AA was. That's not what it is or how it reads. So anyway, I read him this stuff I wrote. And he told me, no, that's not what it is. I said, well, what is it then? He said, son, what does the step say? The step says, the step says, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs. He said, Lee, did you read what it said? I said, yeah, I just read it to you. He said, do you understand what it says? And I thought, again, back in the danger zone, I thought I did. Well, for those of you that might be new, that's the real value of having a sponsor, having somebody in your life that can clarify for you, that can nurture you and help you figure out what a different interpretation. Not right versus wrong, just simply different based on their experience or the experiences they've learned during their time in AA. He said, son, the step is suggesting to you that the nature of your wrongs is why you did what you did. He said, your fourth step tells me that you got arrested, that you've been in car accidents. That's the behavior. The nature of your wrongs is what causes the behavior. He said, you talked about sleeping around, but you didn't talk about lust. Lust is the nature that comes a part of your selfishness and self-centeredness, and it created your attitude towards women. Ladies and gentlemen, I swear to you, when he said it to me, it didn't make no sense, but I kept coming, and I keep trying to be open. You'll hear some of us from time to time talking about having an open mind. To me, that means that I'm willing to listen to people that have different experiences, different views, different opinions. Doesn't mean I have to agree with it. And in most instances, I don't understand it immediately, but I'm willing. I can't tell you how excited I am to have this stage of growth and development in my life and be willing. And now I'm willing to work. I have people that help me, that work with me regularly. And keeps me focused. So once John talked to me about the exact nature, and exact means ain't no guesswork, ain't no fault and blame, ain't no what she did, ain't no what he did. It's you. You've learned now what thorough, fearless, and thorough means. This is you, son. And you can't blame it on drinking because you don't drink no more. And I can't tell you how long it took for that psychic change, for that to really make sense to me. My attitude, my behavior, my beliefs are all rooted in who I am. Where I got it from is a different animal. You see, I got a lot of this stuff from the streets, drinking. I got it from the military. I got it from the men and women that I've spent my time with. And I can see the difference between what I got from them and what I'm getting from y'all. And again, if you're new, I want you to hang on to this. If you've not yet thought about it, I want you to think about who you're hanging with, who you're listening to, and whether or not it's making any difference in your life. Because now I don't hang with people that drink. I don't listen to people that drink. Now I hang with folk that don't drink. I hang with folk that's getting well. I hang with folks in recovery. Now I know people that drink. I'm not afraid of them. All right, but they're not my people anymore like they used to be. My sponsor said, he said, son, I've been over there. Now I'm over here, and I like over here better. Ladies and gentlemen, I've been over there. I was over there from the age of 15 to the age of 30. Now I'm over here from the age of 30 to the age of 77, and I like over here better. I swear I do. Y'all might think I'm showing off, but I swear, if you knew how messed up I was, that's what that inventory said, because I didn't know how messed up I was, not just because drinking, but because who I was hanging with. And they were the ones, see, you all have helped me learn how to be a parent. I had never, okay, I'm getting ready to stop. I'm getting ready to stop, Sonny. Let me just, I got to tell you, this honest stuff is hard work. Rigorous honesty is hard work for me. I'm not one of the people that came to AA and got honest because of the fourth step. And Bill talks about it in the 12 and 12 in particular. But the solution to almost anything I'm faced with is not just don't drink, go to meetings. Now I have become very dependent. That's the word I'm going to use right now. I've become very dependent on my prayer and meditation. That has become it's almost like I look forward to it in the morning. And it starts with recognizing that God has given me another day. But then I get to sit with my coffee and my quiet, no television, no grandson, no, just me and quiet and meditation. And I do what it talks about. I start thinking about my day, start thinking about who I can be of service to. And that's new for me. But it came out of the fourth step. See, my fourth step isn't all bad. I just learned who I am as a person. That's all it is to me. And being fearless and thorough simply means it's not about my drinking exclusively. It's about my whole life, how I felt abandoned when my brother disappeared. All right, the disciplinarian that my dad was, the love and comfort and enabler that my mother was, the neighborhood that I was raised in, all of that factors into being fearless and thorough, not judging, but just owning how it is. And it turns from how it is to who I am. And the fifth step says, well, now there's somebody in your life that you're willing to talk to about it. And I have done some horrible, hurtful things to people. Yeah, both drinking and not drinking. I'd like to tell you that it all stopped when I stopped drinking, but it hadn't, because I didn't understand what fearless and thorough meant. I was not willing to grow. I was satisfied, don't drink and go to meetings. And to me, ladies and gentlemen, that's the real benefit of the first tradition. Bill very clearly recognized that any hope at all that he had was contingent on having somebody else. Personal recovery depends on us being there for one another. Unity is critical to my growth and development, like I think it is for all of us. Again, like I think. So that's kind of that's kind of where I am with it today. I just yesterday, Thanksgiving. You all have taught me how to be helpful, to be of service. You've introduced the word humility to me that I never knew existed. And even when I got here, I wasn't at all interested, but I stayed. And in closing, I just want you to know the most important thing in my life I used to think was don't drink and come to meetings. And ladies and gentlemen, I had a spiritual awakening not too very long ago that reminded me that the most important thing in my life was that you all were here for me when I got here. Sonny, I want to thank you for the opportunity to be with you all today. Oh, she's giving me sign language. I'm not sure. Is she telling me to shut up or keep
you
going?
You still have 5 minutes. That's okay, just a 5 minute warning.
Okay. All right. I just didn't want to mess up because
no messing up, Lee.
All right. So let me share with you on these last few minutes what I've come to understand and appreciate is the history of Alcoholics Anonymous. After Bill and Bob met, and they kind of figured out that there was something unique between them, they eventually labeled it the language of the heart. Dr. Bob said that listening to Bill Wilson for the first time is what somebody was telling him, sharing with him what alcohol had done to him. Dr. Bob said up to that point, everybody been telling me, stop drinking and why don't I do better and how come I ain't better? He said, but this man, a total stranger, told me what drinking had done to him, but that he didn't drink anymore and that he had a faith. And Dr. Bob said, okay, you got me, let's work. And they went and talked to somebody else. The reason that's important to me today is because they made it possible for this fellowship to be here for me when I got here. And I'm hoping that you can think about it the same way. Getting out of the selfishness of, I just hear people, oh yeah, let me tell you all the great stuff AA does for me. But I rarely hear anybody talk about what they do for AA. What do you do to make sure that our traditions be available for new people so they too can have what I had? And I had the experience of coming to believe based on what I saw. And that's what Bill said in the fifth step. He said, rarely have we seen, not heard about, but those of us who come and stay, we see those of us that join us and stay and those of us that don't. And we haven't seen a lot of people fail who have stayed with us. Now, many of us do recover if we have the capacity to be honest. Now, some of us have tried to hold on to our old ideas. It makes sense to me now. Our stories disclose in a general way what we used to be like. Well, what happened? We found this fellowship. Well, what's it like now? Ladies and gentlemen, I'm so doggone happy to be alive, to be relatively healthy, to be sober, to have people in my life that love me. And I have learned how to love women without sex. Now, I swear to you, I had never believed that that was possible for me. That's how selfish and lustful and self-centered I am. I didn't say I was, I said I am. And AA has introduced to me a different way of being respectful of myself. Therefore, I can be respectful of others, regardless of whether they're a man or a woman. And speaking of which, when I got to AA, we were a fellowship of men and women. I went to bed and woke up. Next day, I found out we didn't switched up. Now we people. I liked it better when we was men and women, but heck, if we people, I'm in for the long haul. So things keep changing. There was none of this reading when I got to AA. Somebody said their name, they read the preamble, and the meeting was open. That's it. That's how I was introduced to Alcoholics Anonymous 47 years ago. And there were people here for me when I got here. And even though I didn't understand it, even though I didn't believe it, even though I didn't know anybody, I knew that there was something different about you all versus the people I drank with. So I've decided consciously to stay. And as a result of which, if you can see behind me, that's a tapestry that my children put together for me. They gave it to me for Father's Day. And they wanted me to know, Dad, you okay? You okay? Now, of my three children, only one has ever seen me drink. The other two, 35 and 28, never seen me drink, don't understand a lot of what this is. But my oldest daughter, she's 58 years old. she saw the transition from daddy drinking and all of the places I took her and the crap that she lived through to what you all have done for me. I'd like you to hold on to that. If you stay with us, God's going to work through us to you. And you too will experience what I think as you join us as we trudge the road to happy destiny. We're not just trudging the road. We are trudging the road to happy destiny. And I would like to, on behalf of Alcoholics Anonymous, to invite you to join us. Stay with us until what we have makes more sense to you than what you had before you got here. My sponsor said, stay the course. One more day, not forever. And that's for you borderline people. If you ain't quite sure you're one of us, stay with us until you decide. We're going to tell you what it did to us. Bill said in the book, he said, some of y'all want to try some more controlled drinking. I said, go ahead. We'll be here when you get back. Because if I could control my drinking, I wouldn't be here. That's how I know I'm an alcoholic. I couldn't leave that stuff alone through three car accidents. My last car accident, ladies and gentlemen, was before seatbelts and airbags. That's how far back it goes. And I didn't care. I kept right on drinking. They took my driver's license. I kept right on drinking. But not today. So, Sandy, I want to thank you. I want to thank you all for showing up, especially those of you that I'm meeting for the first time. And in closing, I'd just like to remind everybody that rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. And the fourth step talks about who I am, what I've learned. The fifth step says, well, now that I've learned it, I can share it with somebody because I don't live with the same shame and guilt that I did before, because I now understand the power of shame and guilt. And I don't want to live like that. I like living like this. So it's a work in progress, but I'm willing to do the work. All right, Sandy, thank you. And thank all of my local folk, too. I see two or three of y'all showed up.